This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Paul Spencer joins us live in studio, the founder and editor of The Hook. This is your favorite TV show. You remember when you were a kid?
Coy.
You would curl up in front of the TV and watch Facts of Life
every
week?
Coy.
Oh, come on, Hoss. You can tell us the truth.
You're still living in the 70s, Coy.
You had that crush on Blair and Tootie and a little Tootie Fruity there.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Joe. Natalie.
You like Natalie, didn't you?
Natalie was the large Marge, dude.
Oh, goodness. You were just telling me there's a lot of traffic out there. Well, it's Friday in Charlottesville. Of course there's a lot of traffic.
Well, yeah, but it's also
Parents Weekend at UVA.
Yeah.
And the film festival.
And the Montpelier races are tomorrow.
Oh, really? Do you go to those? I've never been to that.
I have been to that a couple times.
Yeah, horses or dogs?
Both.
Both? Wow. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. The
dogs can keep up with the horses.
No, I think they run them separately.
Oh,
they usually have some Jack
okay.
Russell Terrier races up at Montpelier.
Oh, those are fun dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Very hyper, very fun.
I believe the horse racing begins about 12:30.
Ah, are you going up there?
I might. Depends
on a lot of people turn out.
Well, tomorrow's also Family Day at the film festival, so there's just a wealth of things for kids and families to do.
There's a whole lot going on. I saw that new documentary about the history of UVA football this morning.
Wahoo Wah.
It was really good. Really good.
Nice.
I got goosebumps a few times. You know, it was cold in the theater. Yeah, but so that may have contributed to it, but I did get goosebumps and had tears come to my eyes a couple of times. It's really touching. It's an incredible story. It's the complete history of UVA football in like 2 hours. Everything you possibly wanted to know and didn't even know what to ask. There it is the screen.
And you were into this, and you're not really a sports fan.
I'm not a sports fan, but I'm, of course, interested in the history of UVA. So I'm really interested in the sort of the early history of how football actually got started at the university and its contributions to creating football as we know it in America. Edwin Alderman, William Lambeth, these folks very, very involved, 1909, 1910, in creating football with the new rules, like things like four quarters, these kind of things.
Or did they have like five quarters before?
No, they had two halves.
The math probably didn't work out when they tried it with five.
It grew out of soccer.
Oh, okay.
So they had two halves.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Coy, stop.
This is an innovation? Going from two halves to four quarters?
Yeah.
Oh, we're really smart. Now we have four quarters. They're geniuses.
They had never done it. And that was actually created at UVA. I'm not kidding.
How is this going to hold my interest for 2 hours? This is like, and then we put an extra dimple on the pig skin.
No. You got to go see it. You have to see it. I'll get the DVD and you can watch it. It actually is really interesting. It's online at uvafootballhistory.com. You going to see any movies in this film festival this year?
I'm going to recommend one for the families listening. There's a free show tomorrow at 10:30 in the form of Beauty and the Beast, and that's going to include the lady who did the voice of Beauty.
Ooh.
I believe her name's Paige O'Hara. Hope I've got that right.
Paige O'Hara. Did the voice of Belle.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
In Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. It's a great movie. I don't know why it is, but that movie, and I've seen it, I think there's better Disney movies, even more modern, current Disney things.
Yes.
But, boy, you get people talking about Disney movies, and they all go back to Beauty and the Beast. Like, that was just a great, great success and left a terrific impression on, especially a lot of parents out there.
Yeah, I think it was the first sort of magical one that Disney had done in many years. They had done other films, like, in the 70s and 80s, but that came out in the early 90s and just really captured people's imagination.
Is it your favorite? Is that the one when you curl up with your pajamas that have the feet on them, you watch Beauty and the Beast?
I did enjoy it.
Alone in the basement by yourself, you curl up with Beauty and the Beast?
Okay,
is that
Coy.
Your favorite?
I get you.
So this is tomorrow. The Belle is here, the real Belle of Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Well, that's great. When and where?
That is 10:30 at the Paramount Theater, and it's free.
And so there'll be...
You might want to get there a little early in case.
Heck yeah. Even though there are 1,000 seats at the Paramount Theater, but
there
still,
are.
You don't know.
You never know what's going to happen.
Belle could be packing them in. 14 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia on this lovely day. Is not the weather perfect?
It's perfect fall weather.
Is this beautiful? Don't you just love this weather?
Yeah, so why go see movies, right?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
No, what do you mean?
Because movies, I used to own a movie theater. And
you did?
And
tell us the behind-the-scenes story that people don't know about movie theaters.
Well, I always thought that if I owned a movie theater, I would charge reasonable prices for popcorn, candy, and sodas.
You instead of the outrageous,
ones.
They are pretty ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah, and actually, I only got halfway there. I actually had by far the lowest prices on popcorn, candy, and sodas in town, but I was still charging pretty big fees.
And why is that? Why wouldn't it reasonable and you would charge like a buck for a candy bar, or what it should be is like,
because
50 cents? You know?
Unlike a 7-Eleven or a Sheetz, you're not open 24 hours. You're open for this tiny little window of opportunity, and you've got to make your money where you can.
And that's where they make it.
That's where they make it. Yeah, because the film companies take most of the money from...
Explain that to me. How does that work?
Well, it works on a sliding scale. Usually it starts off with like 90% the first week of all the money that comes in for the film goes to the maker of the film. And think
really?
About it. Yeah, well, think about it. They're not coming. Nobody comes to a theater. Oh, I really want to go to a theater. You don't sit there and go, look at the velour on this seat. You're not excited about the comfy chair or the beautiful plaster work overhead. The reason you go to a movie theater is you want to see what's on screen. And what's on screen is the intellectual property of the film company.
So they charge you an arm and a leg.
Well, so they take all that money.
And they say, if you want to make money off of my movie, sell some expensive popcorn.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of is a reasonable system, because it's not... People are just not coming to see a theater. They're coming to see that movie.
Don't they own a lot of the, what's it called, vertical or horizontal? I don't know. But don't the movie companies own a lot of the theaters?
That's a
what's
great
that?
Question.
Horizontal marketing or vertical?
I think it's called vertical integration or something like that.
Yeah.
And that used to be the case, but there was a consent decree that was worked out in the middle of the 20th century. I'm glad you asked about this. I haven't thought about this for a while.
That's my job. Yeah. That's what I try to do. I try to ask interesting questions.
The Justice Department broke up the monopoly that the film companies had on the theaters. You may recall a lot of beautiful old theaters in towns have names like Paramount or Lowe's or
MGM Grand.
MGM Grand. And those are also the names of major American film companies, or at least they were at the time.
Gotcha.
And I don't know about Lowe's.
Hence the name of the theater.
Hence the name of the theater. But they got broken up. The consent decree was signed. The litigation ended. And distribution.
And all hell broke loose.
it split up the industry. It was determined that it was unfair to the consumer to have the film companies owning the theaters as well.
I gotcha. Hall Spencer is live in studio. Yeah.
I got nothing for you. No. You're looking at me like
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I mean, but I am glad you asked that, because...
And you charged cheap tickets for your theater, too. It wasn't like, you know, $8, $9 a ticket. It was
three.
Yeah, that's great.
It was
great.
The Jefferson
Here's
Theater.
Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
How come, when you owned the Jefferson, that you never created one of those, cinema and draft houses? Because there's one in Arlington, you know what I mean? There's one in Tampa Bay called the Tampa Picture Show. Very popular. You go in, you get food, sit at a little table, and watch a movie while you have like a beer. And I'm wondering why nobody's ever done that in Charlottesville.
I thought that was a risky business, and I wasn't going to undertake it on my own. If someone
opportunity
had,
to serve a lot more than just popcorn and
true
and candy bars
true.
And make your money off of
true,
the beer
but,
and the food.
But Coy, remember, there's no cheaper product in the world than popcorn and Cokes. I mean, the markup on those things is the most sky-high, ridiculous markup in the world. So if you expand your menu to include beer and organic treats, your profit margin would plummet.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people, when they go to movies, they're just programmed to think, got to order the large popcorn, must get big Coke.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. So why would you want to...
They don't think about having a pizza. You think about having a pizza when you're sitting watching a DVD.
Maybe.
At home.
And a lot of people would smuggle food in, and I just let them.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do that now? Because I try to remember that. If you're going to a movie, I always try to remember to do the smuggling.
To do the smuggling?
Oh, yeah. You save $20.
You do save
a
lot.
You know, I mean, you just stop by your grocery store or whatever on the way and just tuck it in there and take in your you know, you're...
Yeah, that's the risk that these purveyors run by charging $5 for 10 cents worth of popcorn.
They make a smuggle haws. That's what they do.
Well, that's your rationalization.
Now, have you seen this new movie theater in Waynesboro?
The Zeus?
It's massive. I've driven by it a few times. I haven't been in it, but it's huge. With a big Z with a lightning bolt on it.
Sweet. Well, because Zeus, you know, Zeus was that
theater.
Guy up on Mount Olympus who was like throwing lightning bolts at people who were
God
misbehaving.
Of, he was the god of gods, wasn't he?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
but
big deal.
But you haven't
deal.
Been there.
I haven't actually been there
stadium
yet.
Stadium seating, digital theaters.
Yeah.
What's the advantage of a digital theater? Because you didn't have a digital theater at the Jefferson, did you?
No.
You had old Cinema Paradiso kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
With the big reels?
With the big reels, yeah.
Would you sit up there in the little booth watching the movie, eating your popcorn?
No, the way it worked was there was nobody in the booth. You'd just thread it up, and unless something went wrong, you wouldn't need to come back.
Really?
Yeah, which was sad because you and I grew up in an era when people would yell, focus!
Yeah.
Focus!
Yeah, there was always somebody up there. And sorry about that.
And now there's nobody in there. So if you yell focus, you're just like, it's a tree falling in the woods with nobody around.
Yeah.
You got to go out to the lobby and go, hello?
Yeah.
But we had like a little alarm system so that if the...
So there would never be sitting... Nobody would be sitting up there.
Nobody would be sitting up there. I was not there the day during the film festival, like, 10 or 15 years ago when a famous director was in the audience and he was screening one of his films. It was actually the late Louis Malle, who was obviously alive at that time.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. He was married to, like, Candace Bergen or something.
Oh. Is that why he was famous? Because he married
Candace Bergen? He was a famous director. He was screening a film at the Virginia Film Festival called Vanya on 42nd Street. And he was an acclaimed director. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, one of our projectors jammed.
Oh, no. Were you there?
I wasn't there. I'm so glad I wasn't there. I would have tried to. But you know what happens when a film jams? It just freezes on a frame and you
burns it.
And then you see it burn. And yeah. Everybody goes, oh, God. Well, what's funny is, of all the things that can happen to a film, that's actually the least destructive thing because you're only burning one frame, and there's 24 frames per second. So all you have to do is get out the little splicer and go snip, snip, and you've lost 1/24th of a second's worth of cinema.
Your eye doesn't even see it.
Your eye, your ear, nothing would ever notice that flaw the next time you're playing that film.
So this happened during the Virginia Film Festival?
Right.
It froze and burned?
Yeah, I think that was the last time we were invited to be part of the Virginia Film Festival.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is...
The old Jefferson.
Yeah.
What is it? 1912, right? Opened
it was
as
built
a,
in 1912.
And opened as a burlesque house, right? As striptease? What was it?
It was called a combination theater. It had a combination of vaudeville theater and legitimate theater, you know, plays, and then silent movies.
About that.
Yeah, it had a combination.
Didn't Houdini play at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville, Virginia?
Houdini did play at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Did they put him in the big water tank and he had to get out?
As a matter of fact, I believe they did.
Oh, man. Kathy's with us. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. What's going on?
Well, I moved down here from New York when I was in elementary school and ended up in Red Hill and didn't realize, like, they hadn't desegregated yet, so I wondered why there were no black people. And I remember it was the year the movie Cotton Club came out, and I don't know what year it was, but I went down to go see it at the Jefferson and realized after I got in there with my friend that we were among maybe four or five white people in the whole audience at the Jefferson, and I had never experienced anything like that before, even though the signs weren't up anymore. It was just a real awakening to me of being from the North, so not really understanding about, like, the Paramount was the white theater and the Jefferson was the black theater, and I think a lot of people might not remember that.
Ooh, that's really good. Now, Hawes, what is the story on that? Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Did she tell us what year? Did Kathy tell us what year she was?
Well, the Cotton Club came out in '84, so they had long since integrated.
Okay, well, it just depends. The Jefferson went through so many different permutations during its lifetime. The owners were always struggling to come up with a business plan for it. They at one point showed what are now called blaxploitation films.
Yeah.
And around that same, this is in the 70s.
Wasn't it X-rated movies too?
And
in
the 70s? During the same era.
That was
era,
the dirty movie house.
They were showing the X-rated movies at night. And at some point in the mid 70s, they moved to a classic cinema format where they were showing old movies. But as you know, the VHS recorder kind of killed that industry.
It did.
And then they reinvented themselves again as the Movie Palace. And in that iteration, they showed second-run films, the ones that had just come out, you know, like maybe a few weeks earlier and had just moved away from the mainstream theaters, but weren't ready for video just yet.
There you go. Hollis Spencer with the story on the Jefferson Theater. There you go. You remember when you used to go in video stores when we were kids and there would be like VHS on one side of the wall and Beta on the other side of the wall?
Barely.
You don't remember that?
I remember it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when you'd go in the video store and there'd be like tapes in one area and DVDs in another. And actually, that still is the case at Sneak Reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And it might be the case in other...
Well, that's where I get my movies. You do Netflix, don't you?
I do both.
I support my local businesses here in Central Virginia. Yeah. I go to Sneak Reviews. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Hollis Spencer. This is Charlottesville right now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. What do you want to talk about when we get back? You got any local news? What do you want to talk about?
I got some local news for you.
We'll
keep them entertained.
We got good stuff. Don't go anywhere. This is Charlottesville right now. 34 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. I'm Corey Barefoot. This is Charlottesville right now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy Friday. Hoss Spencer is live in studio.
Here's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three.
Any of these dead yet? Let me rephrase that. Have any of these actors passed on?
Only the father.
That's the only one?
Yeah.
I thought Ann Brady died. Or not Ann Brady, the maid. What's her name? Phyllis?
Ann B. Davis.
No, Ann B. Davis.
She's alive.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure about that? I don't know about that.
Dude, she's still alive.
What's her real name?
Ann Bradford Davis.
Oh, Ann B. Davis is her real name.
Yeah.
What was her name in the show? I can't remember. Maid?
Alice.
Did they ever tell her last name?
Yeah, they did, as a matter of fact.
What was it? Alice Johnson? I wonder if anybody remembers. 977-1070. What's Alice's last name? We'll give you some Domino's pizza. I don't remember her last name. I know she had a crush on Sam, and they used to go bowling together.
Yep, you're right.
Hey, we got a traffic update for you. 20 North, Route 20 North, heading towards Stony Point. Where it takes that dog leg to the right, that 90-degree turn there. Traffic is at a standstill. It's not moving. So anybody out that way can give us an update and tell us why. 977-1070 is the phone number. Or if you know Alice's character's last name. Did she and Sam ever get married?
I didn't really watch all the reunion.
You're the Brady
shows.
Bunch expert, man.
Dude, I don't know. I gave up when the show ended.
It is.
But Coy Barefoot never gave up.
Here it is. It's Nelson.
I thought you were going to wait, let somebody call in.
I think somebody just did.
Oh, okay, good.
Didn't somebody call in, Luke? Somebody call in with that? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, well, congratulations. We had a winner then.
Why didn't you take the call and put him on the air?
I don't know. I guess Luke just decided he wanted to take care of it.
That's not fair.
Well, you know, he jumps on that phone real quick. So let me see that. So that's the Brady Bunch. There you go. And let me see what else we got here. Oh, we got this beautiful music. Listen to this. A little piano. Dun, 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 dun. This is an original composition by a young woman named Frenzy. What's this girl's name?
Allison Sudol.
Alice Nelson? Allison Sudol from Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, she trades as, or performs as, a fine Frenzy.
She trades as. Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful performer. She's not runaway famous yet, is she?
She's really not runaway famous, although she has appeared on CSI New York.
Oh, but not as a singer.
Actually, in her appearance on CSI New York, she was acting and singing.
Speaking of that, whatever happened to Dave Matthews' acting career? Remember that? He was getting into that. And
he starred in a couple of major motion pictures.
What happened to Winn-Dixie and Where the Red Fern Grows?
Good memory.
How about that? Way to go, Barefoot.
Yeah.
But then he just, I don't know.
He actually was on a TV show called House.
No kidding, about the doctor.
Right.
Really? You watch that? Is that your favorite? You curl up with House at night?
I don't. But if I had more time, I'm sure I would.
Yes.
Especially, Especially when Dave's on.
Yeah. So this young woman, who trades as a fine frenzy.
Yeah, she was.
She came to Charlottesville.
Yeah, she performed Tuesday night in Old Cabell Hall.
Really?
Yeah, she really seemed to like the experience of being in Charlottesville. She's one of the top Twitterers in America. She has over 1.6 million followers on,
get out!
On Twitter.
You're
yeah.
kidding!
I kid you not.
I got 60.
Well, that's good.
That's amazing!
Yeah.
Holy mackerel haws!
Yeah, 1.6 million.
Wow!
She actually, when a week or two ago, she was in the top 100, and now she's kind of slipped out of the top 100, but she's still like 104, somewhere in there.
We're talking with Haw Spencer of The Hook, and she went to a bonfire while she was here, right?
She did. She did. Some local folks put on a little party for her.
Yeah.
And she and her bandmates came out and...
Stood by the fire.
Stood by the fire and had a nice time. And she must have had a nice time at the bonfire and at her Old Cabell Hall concert, because at 3 a.m. that night, or the next morning technically, she tweeted something very, very complimentary about her day. Let me see if I can pull that up.
She said something like, this is the best.
Here's what she said. She said, some nights are simply magical, the kind you keep in a pocket by your heart and treasure till you're old and gray. Tonight was such a night.
Wow. Her night in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Future big rock star woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't wear meat like some other
she
Lady
really
Gaga's do.
She doesn't wear meat.
And talk with nasty language.
Right. And then the next day she went and toured Monticello and then went skeet shooting out at Private Farm.
There you go. How about that?
Yeah.
People know how to show her a good time.
Well, people really know how to show her a good time.
I guess so. Haw Spencer's live in studio. And you had an item here on the hook that you posted recently.
Oh.
About firewood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't get caught without it.
Now, listen. This is that time of year where everybody starts thinking, wake up, Granny. We need to get a firewood. And they start, getting all their firewood and thinking about it. What do you recommend?
Well,
because you're the firewood guy.
I've taken two deliveries of firewood in the past week, one at my residence and one at the bonfire party for that band.
Yeah.
And I had a good experience both times. And
no splinters?
No splinters.
No overcharging?
Not that I was aware of. I mean,
no cursing?
Can't claim I'm the savviest firewood buyer. A lot of people cut their own.
Yeah.
Have you ever cut your
own
firewood?
I did. I used to when I lived in upstate New York. It was very common to get out there on a snowy winter day and break a sweat.
Well,
I don't miss it.
Yeah. Well, one of our reporters, Courtney Stewart, did a story last February where she wrote about what do you do when you're in the middle of winter, you've lost power, and you want to buy firewood.
Yeah, what do you do? That's what I want to know. What do you do?
You're hosed, basically. Because by that point, all the firewood sellers have either sold all that they've got,
yeah,
or what they've got is out in the field under 2 feet of snow. So they can't really effectively harvest the stuff in the middle of a snowstorm.
So you're left buying those like $5 little packets in front of the grocery store.
Exactly. That is,
and that'll last you for a night.
And then you're broke.
Yeah, because it costs a fortune.
So
now, what is you buy it as a cord, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to buy it as a cord. That's a measurement that has a very specific...
What is that, like Old English or something? Where'd that come from, cord? What does that mean? I know what it looks like when you stack it all up together. It's a heck of a lot of wood.
It's a volume. It's the amount of wood that takes up 128 cubic feet.
And, oh, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking, 128.
Well, here's a good way to think of it. 4 feet wide, 4 feet high, eight feet long.
8 feet long. So it's 4 feet deep?
So yeah, like 4 feet deep. So like the sticks are 4 feet long.
Yeah. So it's usually like two logs deep, right? That's what I always thought it of. Like after they're done cutting it and they stack it up,
that's
it's two logs deep. Because log is usually about 2 feet long,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
Get in your fireplace.
Right.
So it's like
right.
8 feet long, 4 feet high, and about two logs deep. So you actually have two stacks of
back
wood
to back.
Back to back.
Gotcha.
Hence the name cord. I don't know. what's that going for now?
I don't know. Because
reasonably.
You know, I was in kind of a hurry to get my firewood, and I would talk to these guys and like, I'll bring you a big old truckload.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
But is the truckload a cord?
Who knows? It might have been more. I mean, it was. I got a lot of wood.
So that's how they delivered around here. They just say, "I'm just going to bring you my truck."
Well, I think you, if you want to be a savvy consumer, you just
I'm an American hog.
Just say, "I want a cord." You got to like insist. You're the consumer. You're always right.
Interesting. Then he says, "Well, you get more with a truckload."
Maybe.
So what's it cost? What's a truckload cost?
One truckload I bought was $145, and one was $160.
Whoa!
A lot of wood, though, Coy.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's a lot of heat.
I don't know.
It's a lot of heat.
I thought a cord was supposed to be like $85. Mm-hmm. Of course, I haven't bought a cord of wood in a long time.
I don't know. Go take a look at what the market will bear. Maybe you can get it. Maybe, see, I told you.
That's the name of the game, isn't it, Hoss?
I'm not the savvy.
What Hoss Spencer will pay.
No, I'm not the I was in a hurry. I was not being my usual savvy shopper self.
You know what? I want to know. Look, somebody out there has to know. Is that a deal? Like, what should a truckload of wood cost reasonably? Is that a deal? You paid $140 and $160. So was the $140 cutting you a deal, or was the $160 a little overcharged?
I don't know. Did you get
about the same amount?
Well, the $145 contained a bunch of cedar by my request. That was for the bonfire for the band.
Because it crackles.
Because it burns hot and crackles and smells good.
Now, what is it? Explain this difference now. What are the differences?
Well, normally you wouldn't really want cedar because I think that's grouped in there with pine as a softwood that's going to put a bunch of creosote
In your
chimney.
In your flue, as it were.
In your flue or chimney, yeah.
Yeah.
Create a fire risk.
Nasty stuff on the inside of your...
It's a fire risk. You know, it's like a resinous substance that can build up over time.
Okay.
And if you don't hire one of those guys who's like, chim-chimney.
Do you hire those guys?
You should hire those guys.
You should every year before you start using your fire, right?
If you're a happy homeowner who doesn't actually burn but a cord of wood every year, I don't think you actually have to have it cleaned every year. But yeah, if you want to be really safe.
To be on the safe side,
a chimney fire can be devastating. It can burn your house down.
Yeah.
And then
you'll be laying there in the rubble saying, I should have got the chimney guy coming by.
Right.
Yeah. Man. Goodness.
If you burn a bunch of pine, you should never
burn. What should you burn?
You should burn hardwoods, you know, like hickory, oak.
Hickory,
poplar,
oak.
I don't know. Hickory, oak.
So you have a lot of fires.
I have a few.
When I lived in upstate New York, we had an insert. It's like a wood stove in your fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, the best fireplace I've ever had in my life.
Because it distributed the heat.
It was unbelievable. You know why? Because you could put your fireplace in there and then close the door. So no heat got sucked out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
You had no problem like going to bed, leaving the fire going.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make the fire would burn longer because you could like really...
Regulate it.
Regulate, thank you.
Yeah, that's smart.
The intake of air into the box. It was like a wood stove in a fireplace. Coolest thing I've ever seen. It was really neat. That's the way to go.
All right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. It's about 14 minutes until 6 o'clock. This is Charlottesville right now. Spencer is live in studio. You know where I went for lunch this week? I went to Bizou, your old stomping grounds, where you go like every day. I'm surprised I didn't see you there. I get the same thing all the time. I get a chicken Caesar. I think it's the best chicken Caesar in town, besides Zazu's. It is so good. It really is good. But here's my question.
Yes, sir.
When are they going to change the movie posters in there?
I kind of like those old movie posters.
You do?
Yeah.
It's from a bygone era, I guess.
No, some are by my friend and local filmmaker, Barry Sisson.
Station Agent?
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
One of the most critically acclaimed movies of our time.
It is a great movie, isn't it? Mm. You know what else is a great movie? I just finished watching it, Band of Brothers. It's a 10-part miniseries about Easy Company.
Okay.
In World War II. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Based on a Stephen Ambrose book?
Sure.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, dude. You've never seen Band of Brothers?
Never seen it.
Ha, shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me.
Veterans Day is coming up, isn't it?
Coming up.
Band of Brothers, man.
Yeah.
You got to check that. Did you see The Pacific? Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg. They did Band of Brothers. Then they did The Pacific.
Cool.
You have no idea. You got to check out this. It's fantastic. It really is.
Excellent.
It really is the best, like, you know, if you like war movies like I do.
Can you be any more Pacific?
No.
Okay.
But there you go. Hoss Spencer is with us. It's 10 minutes in front of 6 o'clock. So you're not going to the to the Virginia Film Festival. You're not rushing off to see a movie.
I went to the gala last night, which was...
Tell me everything.
That was pretty cool.
Movie stars?
I didn't see any, although I did see Jeff Wadlow, a local filmmaker who runs the Adrenaline Project.
Yes, I think he was on WINA this morning.
Is that right?
A very interesting interview about the Adrenaline Project. People making a movie this weekend. You make a whole movie in a weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you really have to turn it around pretty fast.
They do. They have to be very quick. And then they show them, right?
They
As
do
part
show
of the film
them.
Festival?
Yep. So check that out. And, oh, so it was in Alumni Hall, which I don't know how familiar you are with Alumni Hall, but that's kind of a...
Very?
That's kind of a, you know, a...
That noise.
Sorry.
What are you doing over there?
That's my cell phone.
Isn't it funny with all these like cell phones and iPads? People make strange noises now.
Mm-hmm.
They used to just burp, and now they like ring and they ding and they buzz. It's very funny. So what are you doing over at Alumni Hall? Beautiful building.
So that was
absolutely beautiful building, home of the University of Virginia Alumni Association.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But when I see the Adrenaline Project, I might be able to see it Sunday morning at 10:30. That's going to be a repeat. Of it. I think it's going to also play at 10 p.m. on Saturday night at the Culbreth Theater.
Do you go see movies? Are you a movie goer, as they say? Are you a movie goer?
I like movies, sure.
Yeah, but do you go see movies?
I don't see them that often.
Did you see Avatar?
I did see Avatar.
Did you see it in 3D?
Not in 3D.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I mean, I whenever there's like scantily clad blue women, I'm pretty much there.
You're in the front row with your
pretty much with your
expensive popcorn.
Yeah.
So. Have you seen any movies though that you're just like, wow, that's a movie?
I talked to a lot of people last night who had just come from the Black Swan screening, and
that was supposed to be a big one. This is one of the marquee films in
one of the marquee
festival.
Films. People were kind of either blown away or traumatized or both.
What was it, scary?
It had all kinds
What's
of
traumatized me.
Well, it had all kinds of dream sequences, and it required a lot of mental power, according to the people who saw
like
it.
Like Inception. Like if you didn't really keep up with it, did you see Inception where you go in a dream and a dream and a dream?
I didn't see that, but
you didn't?
Maybe.
I thought I was like one of five people that really liked that.
People were buzzing about Black Swan.
Really?
Yeah.
So here in Charlottesville. What's it about? You don't know?
I do not know.
Some type of dark fowl?
It's not. I had a conversation with a UVA administrator. It's not what I thought it was. There's a phenomenon in finance called a black swan. There's a great article by Malcolm Gladwell about a hedge fund manager who's preparing for a black swan, which is a financial situation heretofore unexperienced.
Interesting.
And he profiles a financial manager who would just lose like $1 million every week or something like this. And people are like, ha ha, what a moron, ha ha ha. And he's like, well, I'm actually kind of preparing for a black swan. And then one day the black swan occurred. That was the financial meltdown back a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And boom, the guy made billions upon billions upon billions.
Wow.
Yeah. But that has nothing to do with this movie. I'm totally digressing.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. What do? You make billions of dollars. Where do you go? Are you one of those people you just sit on a beach somewhere and you put your feet up? Or do you like all of a sudden just start, you know, going Corin Capshaw style and start buying up everything and building things? And
that's a good question. I was watching the CBS morning show today, and there was a sweet couple, I forget where they were from, who won $10 or $11 million in a lottery.
Yeah.
And they gave almost all of it away.
Really?
Like, they were really old and nice, and they were just like, we don't have any need for this. There's other people who need it more, and they gave it to charities, and they kept a little for themselves as a rainy day fund, but they mostly gave it away.
They never called me. Jennifer's with us. Jennifer, how you doing?
Hey, well, I'm stuck on 20 North. Other
Uh-oh.
Than that, I'm okay.
Oh, goodness, I'm sorry. A big traffic tie-up 20 North towards Stony Point. Is it just at a standstill?
It's at a total standstill.
Oh, goodness.
Which means I'm late for after school, which means $1 a minute.
You're kidding. Well, they can't charge if it's an accident. It's not your fault, can they?
Well, they do it. Trust me. Trust me, absolutely.
Man.
That's how they make money. But listen, the Black Swan, I was told it's about the dark side of the New York City Ballet.
Oh, really? Mm. Interesting.
And the whole ballet world. No, I shouldn't say the dark side, but, you know, ballet, it's pretty on stage, but it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah. How about that? All right. Interesting. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I would like to.
Yeah, all right.
Do you have any tickets?
I don't. I wish I did.
Aw, okay.
It was last night, right? Pause?
It was last night. Stars Natalie Portman and
She's good.
I don't know if it's going to rescreen. Sometimes they scramble and find a rescreening, and sometimes they have a rescreening planned. I just don't know.
Jennifer, I got some Domino's. You want some of that?
Oh, sure. We'll take it. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, well, hold on just a minute and have a great weekend. Luke's going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza. Compliments of our good friends at Domino's. Hawes, we're going to get out a little early so we can make way for...
Ducklings?
High school football tonight.
Okay.
And we will do that right now. Hawes, have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.